We're going to make plays. We're going to play hard. We're going to do what we got to do. O-line, D-line, toughness, 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 toughness.
Hey, Buckeye Nation. Welcome to the Buckeye Cast, your only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. These guys were born and bred in the Buckeye State, and they like to talk Buckeye football and drink bourbon. Subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, pour a drink and pull up a stool. Here's your host, Joe Warwick.
I didn't really have a lot of highlights from scrimmage. A few players that I think we're going to see starting that are going to probably shock our pants off. So,
shock our pants off?
Yeah. Prepare to be de-pantsed.
It's no longer a family show.
Yeah, we get that explicit E on our podcast for a reason.
We get the explicit E because we're shocking pants off?
We earn it with a capital E. Anyway, so the show started. Thanks for joining us, folks. We're about halfway done. As always, like the man says in the intro, we are the only commercial-free Buckeye podcast. Please rate, review. I will read your reviews on the show. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Send them to me. At the supply store right now, we have free shipping going on, and I don't know how long that's going to last. I haven't decided when to cut that off yet. How are we doing tonight? What's new? Got Jeff Sean as usual.
Oh, wrapping up a week, man. Wrapping up another busy week. Just trying to get every bits and pieces of every morsel of knowledge from the insiders in Columbus. Trying to learn about our team. So I want to hear more about the scrimmage.
Okay. Sean, how's the Warden of the North?
Oh, it's pretty chill up here, man. Yeah, just getting ready to start another week. Getting ready for some high school football. Mm-hmm. First scrimmage this week. Real games and Buckeye football around the corner. It's about that time of year. It seems like this summer kind of just flew right past, but here we are.
Yeah, that's true. Here we are. So, quick bourbon talk. You guys got anything on the brown liquid tip to talk about?
I do not.
Nothing new. Woodford Reserve this weekend.
There you go.
That's watching solid reruns of Buckeyes. Did watch a few Buckeyes games and sipped on some bourbon. There watched you. Clemson 19 and 20.
Yeah.
And Michigan 19.
That's
Michigan 16, and Michigan 16, by the way.
Well, you there was no 2020 Michigan, so I understand why you had to dip a couple years back.
Yeah, and then I went 2016 with the spot and the dagger and all that stuff.
So. Yeah, bitterly disappointing.
The game that broke Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Hey, Harbaugh's pushing a sled in practice now, so.
I saw that dumb shit. Don't get me started. Jesus Christ.
It's legit. What are you talking about? He's a real football player. Just ask him.
I'm sure it's legit. I hope he was the next morning. Bang! Get me a goddamn Asper cream. I can't move my leg. I can't let these boys show them I'm hurt, though. How'd you feel to be the lineman? I saw the big dude just walking next to me. Like, coach, I told you, I got it. I don't know what you're doing. Like, it's my job. Like, I'll do it.
There was a couple people there like cheering him on, but it was a little less than. I feel like if that was Ryan Day, the whole team would be there like, yeah, let's go. I mean, to me, it was like two guys saying, "Oh, good job, coach."
Yeah, one of them looked like one of them was the quarterback. It looked like.
Yeah, so it was like 45 pounds probably.
It looked like there's maybe 10 guys around, like after practice or something.
It was because the BTN cameras were there.
He's just so weird. Harbaugh's a king's gambler, though. Yeah. His back's against the wall.
Yeah. He's just trying to extend that awesome contract. See, he's on a media campaign, the likes of which we've never seen.
Right. Unmasked and no man.
That's right.
Whatever the fuck he says about more attack. A day with enthusiasm. unmatched to any man. Yeah. Whatever, weirdo.
He did say he's almost back to his playing weight, so there's that.
In case they need him. Perfect.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Keep your cleats on, dude.
Yeah.
So anyways. Did you have the cleats to the Big Ten Media Day a couple years ago? Like, dude.
Yeah.
They wore him to, they said, I don't know, it might have been a joke, but they said when he took the team to Italy, he fucking wore him to the Vatican. Remember when he took his team really? To Italy from whatever the fuck? They said, I mean.
Seems like security would have an issue with that. Besides common sense. Common sense has a big issue with that, but seems like security is not a fan.
Maybe one of the most respectful, perfect place, serene places. No, you don't. They don't want you clanging in with cleats on the fucking tile floor.
Clock, clock, clock.
Click, 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 click. I don't know if they were they molded or were they detachable. So they click, 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 click.
I don't think he wore metal cleats. I think they're probably the plastic football cleats. But anyway. So let's. Tonight we're talking Buckeye schedule. We're doing our predictions. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's to say? A couple of notes from fall camp as we're winding toward the season. How do you guys feel about the new O-line as it's been virtually almost announced? It's maybe written in pencil, not pen quite yet, but it looks like it's going to be NPF flipping over to the left tackle. You got Thayer Mumford moving inside to guard. Harry Miller at center, coming off the torn labrum surgery. So hopefully he's good for the snaps. And right guard, we got Paris Johnson coming in. We saw him do some damage against Clemson last year. I feel good about that. Right tackle, though, we got the big man, the monsoon, coming in at right tackle, DeJuan Jones. The big dog. How do you guys feel about this new lineup? You're taking two All-Americans and moving them.
I think basically you've got the potential for five All-Americans on that O-line. I think this could potentially be the best O-line in the history of Ohio State if they got that nastiness to them. And I think they might. I think every one of those guys is going to be drafted in the top three rounds in the NFL, and several of them early on in the first round. I think it's beyond. I don't know anybody's defensive line in the country that's going to be able to deal with this. Throw in Rucker or one of these guys to help block or something. I mean, I don't know if you got enough guys you can bring.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, what you think?
I'm all for it. It goes back to trust in our coaching staff. You know, they've shown us enough that if they say, "Hey, this is our best combination of five right here," I'm good with it. I'm glad, and it seems like from what Coach Studd has said today, that everybody on the line is good with it. Thayer Mumford, I guess, approached Coach Studd about it. Moving in, I thought, you know, DeJuan Jones, if he's ready, we got to get him out here. I'll move into guard. That's what makes all the difference. If you know, you get these guys all believing in the change. I don't think they would have done it to their two tackles if they weren't all on board. So I'm excited about it. Shit, I mean, Coach Studs, he seems like almost giddy talking about how much depth that they have.
Yeah,
as far as he said. Their second five, he said, would start for a lot of teams in the country. He seemed confident about it. So
good
on them. Paris Johnson, we've been waiting for him. He's going to bounce off the tackle next year,
right?
And he's got All American written all over. Donovan Jackson, as they say, they keep talking highly about him.
He's a two deep guy.
Yeah, and just Whipler, you know, and the guy we heard out of nowhere, Fryer. Fryer was that three-star that they was moving on, you know, coming on strong first week of camp. But from Thayer Mumford's words, he said DeJuan Jones, he just, he like something clicked, like it registered with him.
you know, like the light bulb went off or something, and he's just been, he's forcing the move, and that's good to see you. Yeah. Guys making that big stretch.
Did you hear the story, the origination of why Thayer was willing to move to guard? So what happened was Thayer was still up in the air about coming back this season. We're talking end of last year. And he went to Dewan and said, look, if you can get everything together and prove to me that you're going to be able to do the job, I'll kick into guard and we'll, you know, you can move into the new tackle spot at right. And Thayer, you know, is like keeping his word. And I hear projections that Thayer's actually going to be a guard in the NFL anyways. So I'm not sure it's a bad thing for him either. I mean, he's really just making himself more versatile. So I think it's very interesting that that they had this discussion, you know.
Good luck to opposing D-lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get mauled. You are going to get mauled.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how things move. And that's even with Ryan Jacoby entering the portal, a four-star.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So,
well, I mean, the writing was on the wall for him. He's like, look, we got our two deep is loaded. I'm not even cracking that for sure outside of injury.
Yeah,
it's time to go.
Exactly.
But, I mean, our next five, you know, look at our next five, and if you go by, you know, rankings and recruiting and stuff, you know, since there's not much experience, our second five is better or as highly ranked as anybody's top five in the Big Ten.
Right.
As far as, you know, you go by average player rating, I know that doesn't mean much for a guy that might be 2 years into college, but they're all supposed to be better than everybody else. You can't really tell for sure, I guess.
Say, like you said, that Donovan Jackson, they're saying that kid's going to be a special player.
Yeah. I expect him in the 2 deep at guard, probably.
Him and Matthew Jones and Whippler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see Matt Jones get some.
Yeah.
I guess consistency is the only thing I hear about Matt Jones. He looks like an All-American for 10 plays, and then 10 plays, he looks like he's lost. So I guess until he's consistent, you know. Yeah. They want their best five. They're getting them. Hopefully, everybody stays healthy this year. But you know, I feel confident on pretty much most positions outside of linebacker. We're getting a couple guys dinged up. We're not falling. We might be thin for a game or two, but we're not falling off the cliff.
No,
talent wise, anywhere.
I think if you saw any of the interviews with the offensive linemen last week, they all referenced the Michigan State game last year, where they had what, four or five guys out with Corona, and they still fucking put up, what, 52 points? I realize Michigan State was depleted, bombed out and depleted, but I think that was a kind of a growing period for them, and they all talked about it, even the young guys. So, we got some black stripes just flying off of helmets right now. JTT, 10 practices into his Buckeye career, gone. Black stripe, yeah. Gone.
I was like, yeah, you get it. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah, so they're saying when he's in the game, he's just going to be a, you know, attack the quarterback guy, give him one operation and go do it. But then other freshmen, we've got 9 other freshmen that have lost their stripes. Marvin Harrison Jr., Jack Sawyer, Travion, Emeka Ibuka, Reed Carrico, Denzel Burke, Kyle McCord just lost his the other day, and he looks like he's in line for the backup role at quarterback. Jesse Mirko from Down Under.
He's the kicker, right?
Hunter? The punter, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
Well, I mean, okay, that you see the 5-star running back, the 5-star receiver, the 5-star quarterback, they all lost that. You know, they all did another 4-star receiver.
Every kid you said in there, I think, is going to get playing time this year, and is going to be next year's going to be a big contributor, probably.
Mm-hmm. Evan Pryor.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, Evan Pryor.
It looks like it. Yeah, it looks like Evan Pryor. But they said it looks like Ibuka's working back up to Jaxon Smith-Njigba right now.
Yeah, he's in the slot. Yeah,
Harrison will take Olave. I don't know however they run him, but Olave spot say. And Garrett's not coming back, I don't believe.
No.
So, I mean, will Ibuka kick out to there, or will they, would that be Julian Fleming?
Fleming is going to be, I think he's going to be a beast this year.
I know I keep hearing from everybody, they talk about all of them. They'll glow and glow and glow about 6 or 7 different dudes.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, are they all looking, are we really just that untouchable?
I think so, yeah, but pretty much.
But it seems like the corners are holding their own too, from what the little excerpts we get.
Right. I mean,
I have it.
Like the corners said in their interviews, I think it was Ryan Watts specifically. I can think of. He said, you're going to lose some plays against these receivers, and they have lost some plays by playing against 4 and 5 star receivers.
Right. Sure.
So it's just to be expected, right?
He was saying he's kept to some of the best in the country. Not right. That our corners are shit, but the offense always has the advantage. I mean, just the basics of football, offense has the advantage.
Sure. So Saturday's scrimmage sounds like more of the same. Really, not a lot of crazy breakthrough things there. I tell you what, though, my guy Cade Stover. This dude, I think he just wants to punish people. This guy just has a mean streak about him. I can't wait to see him blocking at the tight end position.
Wasn't he a linebacker? Didn't he come as a linebacker?
Yeah, he never played tight end before in his career in high school.
He played linebacker, played some DN. They had him. They moved him around a little bit.
Right.
Then flipped him over to the tight end. I think, maybe they talked about moving him at one point and then flipped him and went back to defense and then back to tight end maybe even. But I know he worked on the D-line and linebacker. But they think now he's Luke Farrell, as far as the edge setter on the run game. Yeah. So, they'll continue that 12 personnel, that 2 tight end stuff that worked really well last year.
Yeah.
Probably see a lot more of that.
Yeah, definitely more of the same. Sean, your boy Steele, sounds like he's got a little bit of an uphill climb at linebacker, but they said he had the hit of the day in the scrimmage.
Yeah, I hear really good things about Steele. Like, he's coming on strong there. It's just that room's so full, with talent, literally talent. I think Steele might make the 2 deep, though.
Ooh, interesting.
We haven't gotten any confirmation yet on the OTO tape, right?
We don't know.
I mean, that's not settled by any means.
Yeah, they're waiting for his appeal to get ruled upon.
That dude was a 5-star inside linebacker, middle linebacker. Right. Went through some injuries, but he's a Mike linebacker for sure.
I thought the other day when they were interviewing the linebackers, one of them commented on Paleo that he was practicing with him.
He is, yeah. Yeah, he's able to play because he's paying his own way. But I don't know if that's going to affect his status with the team as far as playing in games or what. I don't know. It seems like they could play him if they wanted to. I mean, he'd just be treated like a walk-on.
Okay, well then I'm not sure what the... Maybe he's just not making that big of an impact then, because
I haven't heard anything substantial.
They seem like they were talking when Al Washington was talking the other day when they were talking about interviewing the linebackers. Like they're trying to ration out the reps, and they don't want to end up giving somebody too many reps that might not be able to play. That's how it was kind of worded.
That's right. No, you're right, because he is paying his own way, but that's separate from the NCAA appeal, because he put his name in the portal before they made the new rule that you could transfer without penalty. So they're appealing that, the transfer, not paying your way, that's completely separate. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was way off there. Yeah, so they're appealing whether he can play or not this year with no sitting out.
Right, so they're limited reps to him in case, you know, they don't want to waste a bunch of reps.
Yeah. So I tell you what's going to be shocking to us, I think, is seeing Mayan Williams take the first carry of the season.
That doesn't shock me.
No. You're on
no,
the meatball train? Okay.
I like him. I think him and Henderson end up being both get a substantial amount of carries. I think they've got two little different styles, and I think they're going to be a great combination.
I need to talk to the Vegas people that are putting out their lines right now on the Heisman. I can't find Trey Henderson anywhere on these boards. I need I'm gonna maybe burn a dollar on him. I'm hearing he's a 150-1 right now, but I can't find him on any online sites.
I'll take that for tech.
What the fuck? Jesus.
I don't know what that is.
That was funny.
I'll take 150.
Yep.
At least 10.
Yep.
Put $1,000 on that thing.
Oh, jeez. I don't know about that, but
I don't either. But I hear he's a home run hitter, and his speed and his quickness is impressive.
I think he's going to be a JK who had that crazy freshman year, you know, but you got to be willing to give him the carries over Mayan if Mayan's running with the ones right now.
He's going to be able to block, though. I mean, that's a big part of Ohio State football is, you know, you're going to come in and learn how to block Thibodeau or whatever his name is out in Oregon. It's, you know.
Yep. So anyways.
Mayan. Go fucking Mayan.
All right. So, not a lot coming out of the scrimmage yet. I'm sure things will trickle out over the next few days. Let's jump into this Buckeye 2021 schedule. As we know, the Buckeyes are set at an over-under of 11 season wins, and we are going to predict every fucking game. What kind of order you guys want to go in?
Chronological.
From who logged on first, or from who was born first?
Age before beauty.
I'm like, what, you want to jump around the schedule? You said the order. Oh, I don't give a shit.
All right, let's start with Tulsa. John, who do you have?
Alphabetical? Akron.
Do we play Akron? Oh, yeah, we do. All right, we'll finish with Youngstown State. All right, so let me flip a coin here. No coins around.
Just Sean, snake it back and forth.
Yeah, we're going to snake it, baby. All right, week one, September 2nd at Minnesota, 8 p.m., and it is on the Fizzox. So grab your socks. Ohio State leads the series 45-7. Blah blah blah. I'm just reading Phil Steele real quickly.
They beat us 7 times.
45-7.
That's all time, though. I mean, last time Buckeyes won by 13.
Minnesota was a powerhouse back in the day.
That's right. They crushed it back in like 1959.
They got some titles pre World War II. So anyways, Buckeyes are minus 14 as of right now. I'll give you the spreads of the games that I have. There's only like 5 of them. So anyways, we have a spread on this one. Buckeyes at Minnesota, favored by 14. Jeff, what do you got?
I think it might be a little frustrating in the first half, but I'll say they end up covering. Okay. They'll cover the 14.
You got a score or what?
Let's see. Well, let's give Minnesota fucking 7. And I don't know. No, give Minnesota 17. Give them, like, I don't know, 30-something. Whatever it's going to be. 35-17. I just have a feeling we might not look as great as we are sounding, you know, the very first game.
Okay.
For a new quarterback, you know, probably going to make a lot of big plays, give up a few bullshit plays.
All right.
Yeah, go from there.
So Buckeyes pull away late, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, like it gets to be no doubt in the second half, but first half might be a little frustrating for us to watch.
Okay. Sean, what do you got?
I got the Buckeyes covering, but in a little higher scoring affair. 52-27.
I like it.
I think you got Minnesota's O-line. They're massive. They're all returning. Mm-hmm. And they got the quarterback that's, you know, in the top half of Big Ten quarterbacks for sure. They lost some receiving talent. I think they're going to test our secondary right off the bat. And there might be some growing pains there before we get it completely figured out. So I'm expecting them to score a little bit. But their defense, I don't think they're going to be able to stop us much, no matter who's under center.
I'm kind of in line with you, you guys there. Although I will say I think the Buckeyes are going to move the ball relatively easy. I'm going 47-20. I do agree that the defense is going to give up a few points. Not sure if it's going to be passing, running, whatever. They do have no receivers back, so keep that in mind. I just think the Buckeye offense is just going to take over and especially if they get the ball first in the second half, look for a scoring drive to really kind of boat race these guys into submission. All right. So that sounds like an easy dub, easy cover. Be interesting to see how that line changes between now and then, if it does at all. Let's go September 11th. So that was a Thursday night. Keep that in mind. That's a Thursday night, week one game. So we got 9 days off between that and Oregon, September 11th. That's a nooner in Columbus. Oregon coming east with the 3-hour time difference. Going to be playing football at 9 a.m., according to their clocks. That's on Fox. Again, we got a spread for this one at minus 14. Jeff, what do you think?
Wow, that jumped up. That was, I remember when that was 10. That was 10. That was 10 a while.
I saw a niner in there.
Yeah, 9.5 even. It's ideal spot for us to get the 9 days, so you get the, you know, extra couple of days to get the quarterbacks to, you know, watching what they were doing the first game. You get them at noon on a Saturday. Like, they don't even have time to get hyped up for a Saturday night game. I think it's super advantageous for us. I think we cover, but I think we get to 42, maybe 42-17, 42-20, something right on there.
Okay. So that's not a cover. Or wait, it is. Okay, you're going 20. I thought you said 30.
Okay. No.
All right. You think it's a ball control game? How do you think the Buckeye defense fares against more of a physical team than Minnesota might be?
Shit, man, that's hard to say without even seeing us play yet. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys on defense we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, good answer. What do you think, Sean?
I don't know.
I'd like to see us, blow them out. But this is going to be probably the toughest game on our schedule, I think. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see an Ohio State blow out and then get that Ohio State train rolling early, because it gets pretty easy after that for a while, and to sleepwalk through the next part of the schedule after those first two games. But I got a little tougher game. I think you're going to have more talent at Oregon than you got at most teams we play. Second game of the year, Oregon's going to have a defensive front that's going to give a young quarterback some issues. So I didn't know the spread, but I basically got a push. I got Ohio State 38-24.
Okay. That's 14. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm close to you there, but I'm going a little heavier on the Buckeye D. I rely on them with this game because I don't think Oregon's going to be able to move the ball at all, especially with our front seven. I feel really confident with that, and their quarterback is not going to be able to throw the ball. He's nothing. So I'm going 34-13 in a relatively low-score affair for the Buckeyes. Mix in a missed field goal there. Or, I mean, a missed extra point because I hate kickers. So 34-13. Buckeyes do cover. But in a, can you call it a nail biter if it's still covering?
On the game of the week, a snoozer?
Exactly, yeah. I know it's going to be physical up front. I know it's going to be a heavy run dose from both offenses. And I do think the Buckeyes are going to move the ball with more ease than the Ducks. All right. September 18th, week 3, we got Tulsa coming in. Didn't we just play them like a few years ago? I think it was somebody else. Anyway, 3:30.
No, we did. I think it was like 17-18 we played them.
Was it that long ago? Wow, it doesn't seem like it. But yeah, so anyways.
I remember Jerome Baker rocking the shit out of their quarterback one time.
That makes sense.
Must have been 16-17.
As possible. So yeah, I mean, this is obviously going to be a 3-4 touchdown spread once it rolls around. What do you think, Jeff? In the shoe?
Yeah, a big cover. I think we kind of get back. We get in that 50, maybe 60 point range.
Yeah.
Whether how much they think we may give up a couple of scores, you know, playing the young guys. I think Brian Day is going to take advantage of when he can play and get his guys reps and get, you know, the young guys playing time. But it's going to be one of those games, never really in doubt, you know.
Right.
I'd say at least 30-point win, probably 40.
All right. You got a score? Like, can you nail something down for me?
52-17.
Ooh. Sean, what do you have?
I thought I read something where Tulsa might have a few talented players, so I might be underestimating them, but I think our defense will have been scored on the first 2 weeks. I think they're going to come out extra chippy, and they're going to show up, and it's going to be 48-3.
Cool. Okay. Wow. I'm going to kind of flip the script on you there. I'm going to lean more towards Jeff's angle in that I think we're going to be getting a little healthy. I think guys are going to be kind of recovering this week and maybe just kind of, I think guys will be maybe limited on reps, let's call it that. So I'm going to go 49-17. I think I already had this written down, by the way. It's funny, Jeff was just a field goal away. But I think offense obviously moves the ball easily. But I do think defense is going to be a little snoozy, tired in that first half and give up 17. So,
wrong.
Yeah, probably. Another nail-biter coming in week 4. We got Akron coming to town. We know that's always a ball game. Tears in their eyes.
And their shit, by the way. Their shit, like, from Max Sanders, Akron is shit. So, it's not like we're getting one of the you know, somebody supposed to be challenging for that conference.
Yeah.
It's going to be name your score. I mean, I'll go ahead and...
That's what we're playing, 50, name your score.
59-0.
Ooh, calling for the goose egg. I like it.
See, I was gonna go really high like that, Jeff, but I feel like Ryan Day always lays off in-state opponents like that, and then they'll get down, and you know there probably won't be a fourth you know, a fourth quarter pass thrown.
Right.
And so I think that a woman would be 42-0.
Yeah. So we're going to see some third teamers in there, right?
I think so. Oh, I would expect to see any quarterback that hasn't played yet. Mm-hmm. To get in that game.
You might see Quinn Ewers in that game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that off the top. Quinn's in town. He's in town today. We're going to be at practice tomorrow.
And if I know Quinn like I think I know Quinn, you put him in the game. You put him in the game late. He's not handing the ball off. That dude's going to look to chuck it. He probably would take an ass to him just to do it.
That arm wasn't made for handing off.
No, they're not going to put him in a game to just have him just feed handoffs. What's the point? Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, he'll be throwing it to, you know, some third string receivers. You know, Jaden Ballard out there, maybe
some young four stars.
Yeah, garbage. I got the Buckeyes going 47-6. I think again. Like we just talked about, you're going to see them empty the bench, and I think you will get the occasional drive moved on your defense when you do empty the bench and try and get some young guys in the game. So 47-6 with a late, I don't know, couple field goals or a late touchdown, and then they miss extra points to rub it in.
Yeah.
Just because I
missed communication between two freshman DBs or something.
Yeah. So, all right, so that's September. So that's 4 weeks of interesting football. It starts a little rough, but then ends a little easy. We get in here October 2nd, week 5, at Rutgers. So, interesting. That could get dicey. The Fighting Shianos, you know.
They put a spread out on that yet?
No spread yet. But you know those boys will chop wood. What do you think, Jeff?
Oh, I would say, I mean, when the spread comes out, picturing us being 4-0, I mean, we're going to be a double-digit favorite. We're definitely a couple touchdowns better. Let's go 38-13.
All right. Sean, what do you think? You think the Shianos are going to – think I might be a night game in Jersey? I don't know if I'm going to be out after dark in Jersey.
I think that Ohio State will put it on Rutgers. Mm-hmm. And the only reason it won't be worse is because, again, because Day's kind of a nice guy. And Shiano was still there when he was there, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I see something, you know, Ohio State, again – lots of kids playing, and 45-10, Rutgers get the late touchdown.
45-10, okay. Woke up this morning and got myself a gun. I'm going 39-17. I think it's a scrapper early in the first half, and then maybe into the second half. Buckeyes obviously pull away, get some younger guys in there in a hostile environment in the fourth quarter. And I don't see the spread being more than 21. I don't know. Rutgers has brought in some players in the portal. So they're not complete shit, as we're all going to assume. So, yeah, I'm going 39-17.
And, I expect Rutgers to be, you know, more respectable. I don't think they. I think if they continue, they got to continue to build on what they did last year. But they're not. They're not a doormat in the East anymore. I mean, that's reserved for a couple teams where you're from, Sean.
Oh, boom! Central Michigan. They're not in the Big Ten, Jeff.
At Western, there was one.
No. All right. So week 6, we're getting right into the meat of the schedule. Mid-season, October 9th. We stay. We bring the East Coast to Columbus. Maryland comes in. No spread on this one yet. And keep in mind, we have a bye week coming after this game. So Jeff, what do you think? Maryland coming to Columbus. You got the Tua. You got the Loxley. That's about all I got. I don't know what else they have. Terrapins?
I'd say I think we're three touchdowns better. Go
49-28. Okay. Sounds good. 49-28. What do you think, Sean?
Well, I got our highest score to date on this game. I don't think they've got any love lost for Maryland. They've run us up into some tight ones and some high scoring. So I think it's going to be foot on the gas for most of this game, and it gets ugly, and Maryland can't hang this time. 58-13.
Jesus, you almost nailed my score. I thought you were going to say it. I'm going 58-9. I already had that written down before you even said yours. Yeah, I'm going 58-9. I think our D-line, especially our ends, are going to get after a little Tua. And, it's going to be a bloodbath. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. That's going to be ugly. Guys are going to be chomping at the bit after the Rutgers game, you know, maybe taking it easy. And then they know they got a bye week coming up after Maryland, so guys are going to fucking go crazy. Yeah, feeding frenzy on some turtle. So, bye week. Then we come back October 23rd at Indiana. Do these guys even stand a prayer with a bye week prior? Seems like a fucking recipe for disaster, right? Even though it's at Indiana.
I
don't know. This is the game that worries me pretty much left on the schedule.
We got a 10.5 spread on that.
I mean, if IU, you know, Penix tore us apart last year, I guess I don't know if I'll be worried about it that far into the year, what our secondary is looking like. But we're not going to be facing a bunch of great throwing teams other than maybe Minnesota any of those weeks. Maryland, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Indiana's got some mojo going, man. And
they had some.
I think they might be this. I think they're the second best team in the East.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Ohio State's won 26 straight versus Indiana, including the last 12 in Bloomington.
They've been some tough games, though, a few of them.
What, did I get you a score on that one yet?
No, go ahead. Crack the seal.
Indiana, 38-28.
Indiana wins? Okay. Gotcha.
No.
So the Buckeyes don't cover? That's interesting.
Nope.
Jeff, how do you feel about that?
Similar, along those lines, I think.
Similar?
What you said, the spread was 14.5?
10.5.
10.5. It's like maybe a 10-point victory. I think this is going to be a tough game. I mean, they do play stuff in there. In Indiana, Penn State, who's the second most talented in the East? Not sure. We will have two away games prior to that, right? Minnesota and Rutgers. Correct?
No. What are you talking about? Like for the season?
Yeah, this season.
Oh, yeah.
This will be our third road game?
Right. But we have a bye prior.
Yeah, I got you. Well, you asked me to pick the scores on games that haven't even started playing yet, so I'm just trying to get them. I'm trying to see that everybody kind of getting maturity, getting used to playing on the road, that type of thing, moving through the season. I say we win by 8. Let's go
38-30. Wow. Okay.
Suggesting no joke.
Okay, 38-30. You're expecting them to score 30 points. Okay. Sorry, guys. I got to completely deviate from your opinions. First of all, if Penix even makes it to week 7, I'll be surprised. And if he can play a full game with us, I'll be surprised. I think last year was like all of the stars aligning for Indiana. Guys played hard. I know they're going to play hard for Tom Allen. I expect that. But the fucking turnovers on defense, dude, come on. They were like top 10 in the country in turnovers and then points off turnovers. That's not going to happen back-to-back years. That doesn't happen. So I'm going 47-17, and I think that's going to be a fucking boat race. It's not even going to be as close as the score would indicate. And I would expect that spread to be higher, actually, by game week. I think it could be at least two touchdowns.
That outcome wouldn't surprise me one bit. Not at all. I mean, it could definitely go that way.
All right. Week 8, October 30th. Penn State coming into Columbus. So we got back-to-back tough games. You know, kind of, I guess you could say, more physical. Not sure talent's the same. Indiana's not going to have the same level as Penn State, but, approaching. Right now we got a spread at Buckeyes by 11.5. Like I said, it's in Columbus. Be curious to see what time of day that one is. If they make that a night game, that spread will jump, I believe.
I think it's definitely going to be a night game. Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. Campus is going to be fucking Looney Tunes.
Yeah. What do you think, Jeff?
How you say let's do 42-10.
Ooh. You guys are not buying into the hype that that Penn State is the most improved team in the country and is making a big bounce back? Okay. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we handle Penn State as well. 45-21.
Wow, you guys are super confident. All I keep hearing from everybody is that Penn State's back. Almost back, anyway. I'm going to go... You guys have no faith in Sean Clifford, do you? I'm going 38-20. Buckeyes cover, as long as the spread doesn't inflate too much. I think Buckeye D keeps them in check. The running back situation is my main concern. I'm not concerned about Sean Clifford. And... if they happen to find a second-string quarterback that's decent by week 8, I'm not worried about him either, whoever that might be. Will Levis is like already transferred once or twice. Anyways, I think
it might be Kyle McCord.
No, it's too late. He can't. There's a deadline. Like I think it was July 1st or something to transfer and play the same year. So that's not an option. But next year, maybe. Yeah, I think Buckeye defense wrangles up that running game, which it will be a challenge. They got Noah Cain back and Journey Brown. So
Devin Ford, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, they got a bunch of. I remember a bunch of running backs at Ohio State recruiting at one point.
Exactly, 4 and 5 star guys. So
yeah,
if they have the O line to move the ball, that's going to be more of a ball game than you guys are calling. So, anyways, moving on, week 9, I got November 6th at Nebraska, going out to visit the nicest people in the world. What do you think, Jeff? Is this a complete bloodbath, or does Ryan Day take it easy on his buddy?
I don't know about taking it easy on his buddy. He's not going to go full throttle on him, but I still don't think... I think we have zero problem with that team. I think them being on the road and it's going to be their Super Bowl, of course, place to be rocking. We'll give them 13 points. Give us high 50s. Let's go 56. 56, 13.
So
no chance, no sign of any resistance of any kind. But we don't sit there and just, we're not sitting there trying to light it up on them purposely. But it's going to get ugly.
So what quarter do they get to release the balloons?
First quarter. I think they do.
Touchdown first quarter.
Is it first touchdown or first point?
I thought it was rule. Touchdown. I don't remember.
Oh, maybe touchdown is any second quarter. But yeah, they might get something on us. But
oh, this just in. Ryan Jacoby headed to Pitt after entering the transfer portal last week.
Pitt. Good luck to you, sir. Yeah?
Pitt. Sean, what do you think going out to the Cornhuskers?
I think it's a blowout. I'm thinking Nebraska's going to be bad. I feel bad, but I think they're going to be bad. Wish Nebraska was better, but I don't think they're going to be. So I got a blowout, 63-14.
All right. I'm going to go similar vein. I don't think this is much of a ball game. I do think you're going to have some guys maybe getting pulled early to recover after playing Indiana and Penn State the last 2 weeks. So maybe a recovery week for some guys. So I'm not going to have this high, the expectations. I do think Ryan Day has a little man crush with Frosty, and he probably has some sympathy because he knows Frosty's about to get fucking laid out. So I'm going 49-17, similar to you guys, but maybe not quite the offensive output for the Bucks. Moving on, week 10. We got Purdue.
Real quick, Joe, just some of those. We're picking scores, you know, that are like 40-something to 10, you know, 50-something to 13. Mm-hmm. All those scores, like last year, you know, Stroud's 80-yard touchdown run, or whatever that was, Jack Miller's run. Like,
yeah,
those guys might be in there just backing up, you know, just handing off zone read, and then just the fucking seize part. And
break,
you know, like, bam, 80 yards. So that 49 can get the 56 just in, you know, one play of, you know, a freshman coming in there on either side, not, yeah, you know, not paying attention, getting lost on a play, and then we just bust one because we just have better talent. So it's really hard to to pick, but we're only going to beat them by 5 touchdowns. It might turn into 6 or 7, though, if, you know, if they fumble or something. That's just covering the spread easily is one thing, but kind of nailing down the score right now is really pretty difficult.
I mean, mine's based on basically, I'm looking at that offensive line and the weapons on that offense, and I don't see many of our opponents slowing that down. So if we're going to get, you know, 10 possessions a game or however many, I mean, I feel like we're going to have legit shots at scoring on 8 of them.
Are we finished with Nebraska, or are we doing Purdue now?
Yeah, we're on to Purdue.
We're on to Cincinnati. All right, Jeff, what do you got? Purdue coming to town.
Coming into town. We owe them fuckers something. I hope it's big. I'm hoping for like 52-6.
Ooh.
Like a fucking walloping. I don't think they have much. I hope they make it a big deal. Make that a night game. Let Purdue come in and play under the lights and let us fucking thrash them severely. You know, play some tugging our heartstrings, fucking dying kid in your student body. Fuck you. But I hate that story, that Rinaldi story that year they upset us.
Right.
I watched game day that morning and I was like, oh, we're in trouble tonight. They got the world. They got the, you know, this kid's life they're playing for. Anyways, I hope we fucking destroy him. I hope we just. I'm up for just total dismantling.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think this one will be in doubt for very long. Even though I think Purdue will be a solid program, I don't think they're going to be an easy out for teams necessarily. But they will be for Ohio State. Got us covering whatever that is at the time. It would still be a cover. I got us winning 40-10.
Ooh, 10 points, huh? Yeah.
And they don't have their quarterback settled yet, right? Aren't they in a quarterback competition?
I haven't heard anything about their quarterback competition. I'm sure it's a mess. I'm going 65-0. I think this is a get right game, and you're gonna get some good momentum going in to the next 2 weeks where you got Michigan State and Michigan. I think
Dave was the old coordinator the year with Dwayne. We lost to Purdue. I think he gets it to him.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly, especially in Columbus. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn Ewers gets in and throws a couple touchdowns. So we got November 20th, winding down here, week 11. Michigan State coming to Columbus. Remember, we obliterated them in East Lansing last year. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I'll give you my take real quick. Question. Where do you think the quarterback depth chart is going into this game? Where do you think those four are at?
Who's quarterback?
How would you list our four quarterbacks going into the Michigan State game that late in season? Does it stay the same as it appears to be right now, or you think it doesn't alter much?
I don't think it would. No.
Okay.
I'm just not as high on Ewers being able to step in here and play Ryan's day offense at this speed, at this level, really at any point this year other than serious garbage time.
I agree. I was just trying to get the gate to you two.
And I think you could rely on the other two to step in any game, and they'll probably perform pretty friggin' well.
I agree with the take. I was trying to just check the temperature on you two.
From what I'm hearing right now and what I think is going to be, barring injury, of course, I think the lineup for the quarterbacks is going to be McCord backing up CJ for the season. I think Jack Miller is third man, and I don't think he's going to get leapfrogged by Ewers this year, but probably next year. I wouldn't be surprised if Jack Miller's first one in the portal come spring or summer.
Yeah, that's kind of been the writing on the wall the whole time. But back to the Michigan State game.
Yeah.
Coming into Columbus. Yeah. This spread's got to be, because Michigan State's going to be well established that they're shitty again this year. So they might be looking at like 2 or 3 wins coming into us. The spread's going to be probably 14, 16, something like that. Would you have to guess?
Shoot,
it's hard to play this out that far into the season, you know, without even seeing him play. But I'd say, yeah, we probably are going to win by 20-some. At least probably 4 touchdown victory.
Well, their season over-unders were 4.5.
Right. I'd say go 48-13.
Sean, what do you think? How are things looking up there?
This, to me, so you shot your load a week early. This is the get-right game. I think Sparty's going to be not real good. And, you know, we've got a little history with Sparty. And I think we blow him out 52-0.
Ooh. Calling the shutout. I like it.
And it's going to scare their neighbor, Michigan, for next week. Like, holy shit, look what they just did to Sparty, who just beat us 3 weeks ago.
Well, I'm going 47-9. I think they actually get on the board, and it could be just 3 field goals.
They always have a kicker, don't they? The bastards.
Right. But, yeah. Not a game to worry about, and definitely don't expect much out of the Spartans. But, coming in week 12, here we go, November 27th, Michigan, as per usual, noon on Fox. Right now, we do have a spread of Buckeyes by 13. I should have probably mentioned this earlier. I already have placed money on this game and the Minnesota game. Buckeyes to cover those spreads. So minus 13, I wouldn't be surprised if that jumps up to 20, you know, 20 and a half, 21 week of the game.
Yeah. What's Michigan's over under wins on the season?
7.5.
Oh, it is a 7.5. Oof. I'd take the under on the wins.
But as mentioned before, they do have a new budding star that's been pushing the sled around the indoor facility.
Yeah. Well, that'll get you the 6 wins, I guess. I think there's 6-5 coming into our game. Okay. And then fucking Brakes get beat off of them again. They finish 6-6.
Ooh. Ouch.
Under on the win total. I could picture that. I could see that spread. If they're looking at 5-6 wins coming into us, or 4 or 5 wins coming into our game, yeah, that spread will probably balloon to 3 touchdowns. I say we cover. I don't see how we don't cover at home with those seniors wanting to go out. Yeah,
at Michigan.
At Michigan. That's right. We're going up there
because somebody couldn't make to the game last year.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll play inspired up there. It might be a close game. I don't know. That might change, though. I say they still cover. I'll take the spread where it is now, not where I think it's going to be. I say they cover 40. Let's go 48. I like that number. 48-22.
Ooh. Okay. Interesting. Buckeyes have won 15 of the last 16. Sean, what do you think?
We all know.
Well, I think revenge is a dish best served cold. And I think Ryan Day's been waiting for this game. After Harbaugh shot his mouth off a couple, you know, years ago, Day was supposed to hang 100 on him this year. And I don't think Dave's forgotten that, so I don't think Ohio State's... I think they're going to be very focused on this. Ryan Day will make sure of that. And they'll go up there to Ann Arbor, and there'll be OHIO going around that stadium again. As Ohio State finishes up an undefeated season on the way to the Big Ten Championship in a row, 59-17. He isn't going to quite get to the 100, ooh, but...
Yeah, 100 is almost impossible.
Well, you're dealing with, dealing with the weather. You got to have a massive amount of turnovers on their end in order to, you know, to get to 100.
You never know what you're going to be dealing with. And you know what? One of these games where I think we should be scoring 40 plus, it's going to be shit weather, storming.
Weather,
windy, and
weather.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got all the scores written down, Joe? That'd be nice to...
I sure do, but let me give you mine. I'm going big money on this Michigan game. I'm going big money, stop. 65-13. Buckeyes do approach 2/3 of 100, but weather and time is their only enemy. And
we just ran out of time. We could have kept scoring.
Yes, exactly. So... Buckeyes do their best, do their damnedest to score on every drive and make it a walk away and possibly the death nail in Harbaugh's coffin.
Let's hope not. Let's hope they're 10-1 going into that game. Harbaugh saves his skin.
Oh. No,
because I want him there. I
got the under of 7.5, so that can't be a...
No. I can't see him getting.
But I can be hopeful.
I can't see him getting 8 wins. I mean, they got a tough schedule. Washington's no fucking cakewalk for them. Beginning of the season.
Right.
I mean, I forget if they got Wisconsin at home or not, but that's a... I'm sure Wisconsin's going to be favored in that game. Penn State, probably going to be favored over Michigan. I don't know. 8 wins, it seems highly unlikely. But it would be nice if they were 8-3 coming in to us. you know, rank maybe 15, 16, something like that. Mm-hmm. Give it, we get a little, at least a little bit of credit for beating them at home or, you know, in their place. That'd be nice, but I don't see it.
Well,
I'm thinking 6-6.
My record and predictions are all based upon, I feel like our D's going to have a huge turnaround this year. I think they're going to be lights out. If they're not, then I'm like seriously questioning Kerry Combs as a D
schematically. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we just did the team over-unders last week, and all three of us had Michigan under the 7.5, and Vegas has the juice at minus 150 on the under.
Okay, right.
So, a little peek inside of what's expected out of them.
They've still got more talent than most of the teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how you can have that much talent and still not do anything with it. It's kind of
sad. It's not like a bold statement. It's not like a bold statement we're making, but we think they're going to be under. A lot of the smart people that I listen to their opinions on and that know college football have said, I just don't see it. I don't see them. I see them, you know, 5-7. So I've heard a lot of 5-7, 6-6, maybe 7-5. But that's probably 90% of what I've heard on Michigan this year is within those two games.
I don't think Harbaugh would get his job at
500 plus one or minus one.
I think he needs 8-4 minimum, and with a win, at least over Michigan State.
So what do you think? Because I get this, from what I hear, is that Penn State and their fans, especially their fans, are okay with 10 wins a year. But Michigan, for some reason, I think some of their fans, maybe it's a different generation, I don't know. But some of their fans think that they deserve more than 10 wins a year. Do you guys see that, or am I crazy? Between those two programs.
I don't know. I think Michigan's, stuff I see, they don't think they're a 10-win team anymore. I don't think that that's in the realm of possibility. I see some of their stuff written in. I mean, they obviously put Ohio State like that's an auto loss. And they're like, basically, it's auto losses. Wisconsin, Penn State. And, you know, Indiana probably beat you. And there's a couple other losses on that schedule. I don't know, though. Like I said, Michigan's got players. Yeah. But they've never been coached up.
Well, they do have a new energy. I think it's interesting that Penn State fans seemingly are okay with a 10-win season. But Michigan, I keep hearing this backlash or this pushback. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like they think they deserve to be in the playoff discussion.
They've never been more than a 10-win team in the history of their fucking program. I mean, go back through their wins through the last 30, 40 years. Their average is right around 10, probably. 9-something. Like, they are. That's what they are. It just... We've never been this good. That's the only difference. We're just this much better.
Yeah, that Washington game is still a pick'em.
Pick'em?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Ann Arbor.
Yeah. West Coast, come in Ann Arbor, pick'em. And meanwhile, we got a team from the same neighborhood coming to us. It's what would you say it was? 14?
Yeah.
Their top 10 every season.
Yeah, and the team we got is top 10. I see this. It's just there's a mountain between us, but they're where they always are, pretty much. You look at Bo's records, Lloyd Carr's records, about 8, 9, 10 wins, a lot. Now they played a good schedule.
They've pretty much been Ohio State except for Ohio State's last 20 years, where Ohio State just, a run. Nobody has a run like this.
It's separation, man. Separation.
Yeah.
But a 10-win season, I mean, that's a good season.
Yeah, 10-2. 10-2 is nice. You know, then you get a nice bowl game at 10-2, or 10-2 might get you your conference championship game some years.
10-2
you get a nice bowl game.
10-2 might get you the 12-team playoff.
It will. I think in a lot of in a lot of the second and third place teams from the Power Five that have a respectable schedule. Yeah, 10-2, there's going to be some 10-2 teams in that 12 playoff for sure. You can look at the final 12 from every year. You can see it. Michigan can be there.
Michigan probably a 3-loss teeter. Yeah, Michigan 12 spot.
You could picture almost every year Michigan and Penn State playing for a playoff spot. You know, it's almost going to be like a semifinal game.
Yeah, I would say you get 4 to 5 SEC teams guaranteed in that 12-team playoff scenario. Not saying I like it, but realistically, that's, you know, because the SEC schedule is so fucking tough, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, then you get 3 Big Ten teams at best.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sprinkle in ACC 1 or 2, and then Pac-12, you know, 1 or 2, and you get yourself quickly to 12.
You top it off with a Notre Dame, and there's just fucking playoff Sunday.
And if you want to appease the group of five, you throw a Cincy or a UCF in there for shits and giggles.
Yeah. Whichever one is ranked the highest, or if one of them's ranked above one of the other Power Five conferences. But
then they get smoked in the first round.
We keep saying Power Five, too. Power Five might be out of our vocabulary in 3 years. You know, there might not be a five. There might be like the Power Four, which could change everything. Because if the SEC and the Big Ten say expand, you know, there's another big conference shift where it's 16 teams all the way around. Well, each conference is going to have more. There's going to be less conferences than, you know, to choose from. So,
the school all that these teams, it's going to be different.
We don't know how that's going to fluctuate.
It's going to be way different.
I would look, from what I'm seeing, is that ACC rights package is definitely something that's not going to hold up in court. So I wouldn't be surprised if they can get out of that, teams like Clemson, North Carolina, the rest. I wouldn't be surprised if they can get out of that before 2035.
Oh, yeah. And the Pac-12 is coming up when we are. That's the one thing that they said Delaney lined up perfectly was we're getting the market first, and the Pac-12 is with us. So anything we do with the Pac-12 as far as that scheduling agreement or whatever that bullshit they're talking about, like that's we're both those conferences are on the same time schedule. So anything worked out schedule that could be easily done. But the ACC, I heard that too. I read that the lawyers for a lot of these universities and the conference, you know, or for those schools, they seem pretty confident that those laws can't hold up. I don't know. That's they're talking about millions and millions of dollars having to pay out, so they might as well pay a million or two to a lawyer to figure it out.
Well, it's the same deal with the Big 12. Basically, what's happening is you have these TV networks do all the negotiating between these teams and conferences, and just like Texas and Oklahoma are probably going to not have to pay that those millions and millions of dollars to leave the Big 12 early, because if the Big 12 dissolves, which will probably happen in the next 2 years or less, then there's nobody to pay that fine to. And same with the ACC. ACC, if that dissolves in the next few years, don't have to worry about that fucking, whatever it was, $300 million.
Yeah. That's shady business, you know, if ESPN's trying to help think.
Same with Fox. Fox is knee-deep in this, the Big 10, Big 12, and ACC merger that's not really a merger. It's more of a cherry picking, I'd call it.
As they should be, because what have they seen from the Big Ten? What kind of leadership have they seen from Kevin Warren? Fucking dog piss.
Yeah. So and he's been left out of the negotiations.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we don't need this guy, but I mean, so we have to get involved here. I'm sure a lot of the big schools, Ohio State, USC, are probably like, hey, Fox, help us out. We don't, look who's running shit here. We get in.
They're talking directly to the presidents of the schools and the ADs. You know, Gene Smith, sure. Christina Johnson are definitely talking to Fox
because they all know, and all those people. Not only does Ohio State want to talk to them, but they want to talk to us because nobody draws like Ohio State games.
Sure. Everybody wants us. And the Pac-12 commissioner is the new guy. You know what I'm saying? Like he came over from the resort and casino business.
Yeah.
You know, that dude hasn't even been on the job a year, I don't think. So,
but he knows what money is. Really,
he knows what money is. But he might not know about conference network TV deals, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I am completely amazed that Kevin Warren, like I can't, that he's getting a vote of confidence from the presidents. Like I can't believe that they're everybody's happy with how that's going because we're a fucking laughing joke.
I'm not sure there was any vote of anything. I think they're putting up with
him. Who the fuck got him in there? If nobody wanted him there, how do you get that?
It wasn't on Gene's list. Somebody put him there. It wasn't on his list.
So somebody's. So who's the big swinging dick in the Big Ten then that got it done without Ohio State?
I go back like I said before. I mean, he's been in office now for 2 years. He was hired when Jim Delaney was still commissioner, and Michael Drake was still president at Ohio State. And I'm gonna stand on this fucking soapbox till the day I die. I think Michael Drake used his power at Ohio State and got that dude that job for whatever reason. I don't know if they have a past or a current history. I don't know. But anyways, I think Michael Drake was part of the problem. Just my opinion.
It'd be nice to hear that story someday. How did this dude get to power if nobody was happy with him once he got here? Like,
I know you're bag on Drake and that, but look what Ohio State football program did under Drake. I mean, it became a juggernaut.
I credit Gene more than that. Gene had all the power, and Drake was only here, you know, a handful of years. I give Gene more of that. Gene, you know, did all the hirings. So I'm not sure the president at that time, especially when he's suspending Herb. I know that came from the president and a few of the board members. So I'm going to go ahead and say Gene was the mastermind behind the hirings.
It all worked out.
So anyways, good show, boys. As I could have told you before this show started, the Buckeyes finished 12-0, right?
Yep.
Shocker. Anyways, folks, keep tuned to the Buckeye Cast. We got next week, we got our offense too deep discussion going on, and then our defense too deep the week after that. And before you know it, it's time to fucking get ready for Minnesota. Can't wait.
We're doing all 23 positions for the kicker. And there's a kicking battle too. We got to discuss the kickers.
There we go. You going Seibert or Ruggles? Decide that now. Come on.
Those are our choices.
Yeah. Douchebag says what?
What?
All right, folks, thank you for joining us. Like I said, keep your eye out. We're weekly now, so brace yourselves. Buckle up. All right, boys, thank you for joining us. Sean already logged off, it looks like. Good job, Sean. Talk to you later, Jeff. We will talk to you next week.
All right, brother.
Have a good one.
Later. See you.